Let's worship together after we pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the way you are just so faithful, God. You provide all that we need, Lord. You give us clear direction. And we thank you for what you're doing in our church and the ways that we're able to do what you've called us to do in the community. Lord, I pray your blessing on today's service as we meet together, as we sing, as we worship, as we look to your word. Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how many of you guys, and I know this is dangerous because we tried it last week when I said, how many of you guys can draw? I know this is a dangerous thing, but how many of you guys noticed this candle? How many of you? Okay, a whole bunch of you. There's a candle there. Victoria's like, I'm sitting right directly in line with it. I didn't notice it. But a lot of you noticed it. And we'll get to that. But we have been in our series called Who Do You Think You Are? Not Who Do You Think You Are? But Who Do You Think You Are? And Who Does Scripture Say You Are? And this morning, our key verse here is from Matthew 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And that's where we're going to kind of live this morning. But before we do, I wanted to just review what we've talked about over the past couple of weeks to get us up to speed. We talked about that only Jesus completes you, no matter what Jerry Maguire says. Only Jesus completes you. Our search for that soulmate who's going to complete us. Our search for that career that's going to complete us. Our search for enough money that's going to complete us. All those things fall short. All of them fall short. And Scripture shows us why Jesus, only Jesus, completes us. The second thing is that we need a Savior. That we need a Savior. If we're going to be in a relationship with the Lord and be with God, then we need a Savior. And the third thing we saw was that you are God's masterpiece. And I told you, no matter how you feel, no matter how low you get on yourself, that God sees you as his masterpiece when we are in Christ. And you can catch up to those online on our YouTube page or on our website at lovewestbrook.org. And then last week we looked and we said that you're ambassadors. You were elected. You were not elected by people, but chosen by God. That you were chosen by God. And we went through what Scripture said about that. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. And the third thing is that you have authority from the one who sent you to be his ambassador. And we put a caution around that, right? That we speak for Jesus, reconciling the world, what he told us to do. We don't just have authority to make our agenda God's agenda. And so many times we Christians do that. That because I believe this way, God believes this way. And so we speak like we are God's authority on a number of issues. So this morning, you are the light of the world. I want to start off, we're going to do a Bible drill, okay? These are those things that we did when you were kids. I got to squeeze my ear a little tighter. That when we were kids, you did these Bible drills, and Shara always won, Victoria always won, you know, the girl in youth group that always won. And when I was in youth group, we used to we used to do it as a survival game. We used to divide into two teams, and the team that won, that had the person stand up and was on their team and read the verse, could then eliminate somebody on the other team. So what ended up happening was the top tier players got bumped off pretty soon into the game. By the last round, the survivor, you've got a kid, a couple of kids fighting it out. This is the first time they've ever held a Bible. And everybody in youth group is gathered around them going, no, backwards, forward, no, go up here, I'm going to get the win. And that was kind of a cool way to do it. So even if you don't know the Bible all that well, it's okay. The way we get to know it is by using it. So this morning, our Bible drill, we're going to have you look it up. You're going to stand and read when you get it. Feel free to use the Bibles that are in front of you, or even to cheat and use Google. All right? A whole new way. Okay, so I'm going to start off. Here we go. 1 Peter 2:9-10. 1 Peter 2:9-10. Let's see. Heidi's got it.
You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
Nice. Heidi's got a point.
Once you were not people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
You are the people of God. You are God's people, chosen people. Okay, so they got one. Who do you want to eliminate? No, just kidding. Just kidding. We're not going to do that part this morning. All right, but get the key there. The next one, John 1:12-13. John 1:12-13. Got it, but no glasses. Sure you do. Oh, Holly's got it. Oh, Holly did one of the things that used to get you in trouble in youth group, Holly.
What?
When you stand up early. And then you start looking around and going, oh, hold on, wait a minute, I got it, it's right in here, got it. That was not allowed. But since we believe in grace, we're going to allow it this morning. So John 1:12-13. Born of God, that, you know, now you're, did you get that? The first one, you are God's people. You're God's chosen people. You are children of God. You are God's people. Next one, Galatians 3:26-29. It's right up here on the screen too, if you need it repeated. Watching closely.
You are all sons of God.
Holly got it again.
For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself through Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Well, so again, when we see this, that you are all children of God through faith in Christ. You belong to Christ, okay? So let's keep going. And Holly, sit down for this one. And next. Romans 8:14-17. I hope you're seeing a theme here. Tom.
Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share his glory.
Awesome. Who's your daddy? God. Okay, that God is your father, that you are chosen people, that you're children of God, that God's your dad, and that you are going to inherit all that he has. Whew. That's good stuff. All right, Brielle's got the next one. She's poking up back there. Ephesians 2:19 through 22. I'm kidding, Brielle's too small. She can't read yet. Leslie. Okay, again, you're no longer foreigners and strangers. You're welcome in, you're part of the family. Next one, final one, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. Todd.
What?
He got his glasses.
What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Okay. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be the father to you.
You will be my sons and daughters. Now, this passage sometimes gets confusing because people look at it and say, come out and be separate from them, as though we're never, ever supposed to be with anybody who's not a follower of Christ, and we're never supposed to do anything that they do. However, that interpretation falls short of the rest of the context of Scripture. That would end your ministry immediately because you'd have no contact with anyone. When it says come out and be separate from them, it's saying come out and be different. Don't live, remember, where it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I think it's Romans, somebody check me, my mind is like, where it says, be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. That's when it says, renew your mind, come out and be separate. Don't think like the world, but think like Jesus has taught you to think. Okay, so we just went through this Bible drill where we saw, and the winner was clearly, I don't know, two over here, three this side. I think it was this side. Although you had the Holly thing. The Holly thing might have been closer to a tie, but I don't know. And you had Todd frequently saying, I got it, I just don't have my glasses. Yeah, right. yeah. I'd say that. So anyway, you are the light of the world. You are what we just saw by bouncing around Scripture, is that not only are you the light of the world, you are God's children, you're chosen, you are his joint heirs with Jesus. It's amazing to me that this, through Christ, that God looks at me and he sees the righteousness of his son instead of what I am. I know the reality is I still struggle with sin. The very things I hate, I end up doing, is what Paul said. The very things I hate, I end up doing. I don't want to do them anymore, but I still do them. But God sees me through his Son and sees me as righteous and spotless and without blemish. And he says, ah, you, I just love you so much. Yesterday, when we went and watched 9-year-olds play field hockey, you know, youth sports is just an incredible thing to witness the love of parents. It really is. And grandparents, you suddenly become a grandparent and you get a little bit more objectivity in looking and going, yeah, they did very well and they're okay. But you're also sitting there and looking and going, wow, they're 9-year-olds. Whether it's baseball, and you stand there and they decide, I subscribe to a video service so I can watch my 9-year-old grandson play his baseball games in Florida. I spent $100 for the year so I can watch 9-year-olds pitching to other 9-year-olds, and the kids get up there, they got their $300 bat, their $180 cleats, their special helmets, their wrap-on gloves and elbow protector, and their special sunglasses, and they get up there. Ball one. Ball two. Okay, ball three. And it just goes on like that, and it's ball four. And take your base. And then what happens is you watch them on the base. They get on first base. All right. Pitcher throws the first pitch. It hits the screen on the fly. I'm stealing that base. Yeah. And they've stolen the base. I paid $100 a year to watch this. Why? I love my grandson. I love my grandson. His parents are texting, oh, Kevin just stole second base. Oh yeah, I know. What? Where'd the ball land? In the parking lot? So even if it was a pitch that was a strike right to the catcher then has to stand up, throw it on a line to the second baseman and reach, and the other 9-year-old second baseman has to catch the ball, has to then tag the runner. The amount of times this happens is 0.00001% of the time. But we as parents, as grandparents, I'm watching Emma play. I was so excited. It was so much fun. But I imagined if I wasn't just crazy love for my granddaughter, if I was just a stranger coming in and being like, I think I'll go watch these 9-year-olds play field hockey and sit there and go, okay. But I said to Emma, she came out of that game, I said, Emma, man, I love this. This is so much fun watching you. You're learning so much, you're growing, and I just love this. This is so cool. What a great job you're doing. And I'm like, why? Why do I feel that way? Because my children and my children's children. And I'm thinking, when God looks at you as his children, he doesn't look at you missing the ball. He doesn't look at you dropping the ball, making the mistake, whiffing at a field hockey ball. He doesn't look at the times we're blowing it and going, ah, you blew it again, you blew it again, you blew it again. He says, you are my chosen children, and I love you. I love you. You are the light of the world. So this passage, in verse 13, it says this, you are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Huh? What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? And I'm trying to think, how do I keep my flavor? How do I ensure that I'm I'm still the salt of the earth. How do I do that? Because I know when I'm hanging out and just, you know, getting doom scrolling on my phone, and I'm getting these certain headlines and all the talking heads are fighting, I know I'm not the salt Jesus talked about. I am salty. I just get salty and negative. But I am supposed to be the salt. Can you make it salty again? No, it'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights the lamp and hides it under the basket. See, our job is to bring out, as ambassadors, our job is to bring out the God flavors and God colors. That's what the light does. It reveals the colors. Now, a bunch of you saw this candle. If I had turned off all the lights, all of you would have seen this candle. Maybe not Victoria. No, all of you would have seen. She couldn't see it because the bun on Katie's head this morning blocked her vision. It was Ella's hair. It stopped it. But that light attracts. And being the light of the world is bringing out the God colors. So I want that first thing for you to know, without a shadow of the doubt, is that you are God's people. You are God's people, number one, light. When I ride my bike, I want to be noticed, because some of you are on your phones and you're doing this, or you're reaching in the back and saying, I told you to be quiet and I'm going to come back there, and like this. And meanwhile, there's a person that's an old grandpa riding his bike, trying to get some exercise, and you're swerving. So I try to be seen from far away. So you've seen this thing that you're like, whoa, that's so bright, it's almost obnoxious. You can see it all over the building, right? This is visible from over a mile away. I want people, when they see it a mile away, to go, oh, I think there's a fire truck up there. I better pay attention. They get up and they see me in my bright yellow jersey and they go, oh, not a fire truck, it's a school bus. But they look and they see because of the light. Now, I also have this, which is obscenely bright. This is like a spotlight thing that goes on the front of my bike, because I want traffic coming the other way to see me. I want the person who's turning right to see me. Now, I'm just pointing out that light attracts attention. Light attracts that attention, right? And so, as the light of the world and the salt of the earth, the salt that gives God's colors and God's flavors, we should be impacting for good. That's my alarm. It says, Scott, you got 10 minutes. Should have only gone in my hearing aids, but you all got to hear it. So now you know the pressure's on. You are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And so that light, I got to figure out, okay, how do I do this? How do I do this? Well, you know that part of it is how we respond on Facebook. We can choose to be salt, or we can choose to be salty. We can choose. I was just kind of studying and doing some research on the Fear series coming up, and I watched this series called Fear Thy Neighbor, about crazy neighbors. These people were crazy. Crazy neighbors. And I was like, what brought it to this? And I always saw this person going, meh, 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 and this person going, meh, 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 meh. And this person goes, blowing up each other's houses and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, how conflict resolution How do we stop that? See, if you don't add more logs to the fire, the conflict ends. There's no place else to go. But we all want to stand up and defend ourselves because we're right. We all want to do that. Okay, so you are God's people. The second thing, be who you are. Be who you are. So often we feel like this pressure to be somebody that we're not. I'm not talking about behavior as much as I'm talking about the personality, how you're wired, what you love to do. Now, I need to show you this clip, which was a song, I think, from 1986. An artist, Ella, we used to love this stuff. I actually listened to it. I had his, at that point, where were we? Were we at CDs yet? I think we were just coming on to CDs. I think we were still at cassettes. And we had to do this thing where we rewinded to play the song again. It's crazy. But this is an artist called Steve Taylor, and it's just a little 30-second clip of one of his songs that I loved called Be a Clone. Now, I imagine some of you are going to watch this and go, what on earth is that? But here we go. Good stuff, huh? I want to be a clone. You got to YouTube it. All right? But the whole thing, Steve Taylor, and this song he's writing, he's writing about the pressure with people telling you what you have to do within Christianity in order to be a Christian that goes beyond faith in Christ. Anytime you add an "and" to it, it is no longer faith alone. So when we look at you are God's people, be who you are. I had somebody years back tell me when I was a youth pastor, Scott, you can't be a Christian and subscribe to Rolling Stone. Really, they were dead serious. You cannot be a Christian and subscribe to Rolling Stone. I worked in youth ministry, and teenagers were entirely about music. And so this was one of the things that I knew about what this artist is saying, what this one is doing, all that. But I found out from this dear lady that, I know faith in Christ, that book says that's what makes you saved, but it's really Rolling Stone. It's really Rolling Stone. Other things that I've heard, you've heard them over the years. You can't be a Christian and play cards. Ruth, Sally, Nina, you guys remember that? You can't be Christian and play cards. Well, okay. You can't be a Christian and go to the movies. I used to laugh at this one, and I don't know if it's still a thing with the Nazarenes. You can't be a Christian and dance. Christians don't dance. And I'd always be amazed because they'd be like, you can't be a Christian and dance because dancing is bad, but you would put roller skates on those Nazarenes and put some music on, and man, they were going. I'd be like, we'd have a big youth group thing, and the Nazarene church would come in, and it would 30 kids and strap those skates, and all of a sudden they're like, I want to be a clone. Yeah, and dancing around and doing stuff. And I'm like, oh, legalism. No dancing unless wheels. That's the way legalism is. You add up all these things and go, what? What? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I've also heard to be a Christian, you must listen only to Christian music. You must read the Bible every day. And then I wonder about the early church. Like, they didn't have one. They had letters that they'd try to copy as much as they could, but they didn't carry copies around. They didn't pull out their phone. And this one, you must read only the King James Bible. I mean, you know the churches that are like, nope, this is God's word. That over there, not God's word. This one only. So only this. You can't be a Christian. You must not miss church. Here's the thing. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car. It just doesn't. It's good for you. Let's not get confused here. But it's not the qualification. All right? The reason we're a Christian is because of what Christ did, not because of what I do or do not do. It's what he did. See, our world is obsessed with what you do, but God cares about who you are. So while the music team comes up to close us, remember my alarm went off and I had the 10 minutes? You'll see if you download online at lovewestbrook.org today's bulletin, there's a whole list of ideas of how to be salt and light in your community. How to be salt and light. And some of them are simple. Plan a neighborhood block party. Get some people that you know. Maybe move the furniture from the backyard to the front yard and hang out as people walk by and be like, hey, how are you guys? Good to see you. You're just kind of being salt and light. Now notice, you're not the light that does this that's obnoxious. Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hey, let me tell you about my Lord and Savior. That's not that. It's not that. Let me tell you about my Lord. Listen, this is important. I need to tell you about this. The Bible doesn't call us to be obnoxious. The Bible calls us to be a light. Be the one that brings out those God colors. And when the person asks the question, we're able to say, well, this is what I believe. And this is why I'm like I am. So take a look at all those, and our music team will close us. As you go this week, remember, be salt and light. The Bible doesn't say be salty and fight. Be salt and light. Lord, go with us now, we pray. We thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we had to gather today. Now, as we say hello to each other, greet each other, Lord, I pray that you would just be present in that, because you have built those connections. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Have a great week, guys.